What's up, Oos? Main Event Jey Uso here from the WWE. When it's just me between matches, it's day one-ish. And that means it's Chumba time. With hundreds of casino-style games and new titles arriving weekly, there's always something fresh to try at Chumba Casino. The daily boosts make it even more fun. And have me about to get them all during my downtime. Ready for a fun way to chill out and enjoy a few minutes for yourself? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now, broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day and call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number nine, let my lies be line with a death wish. Be right, didn't help. No name on the guest list. Hold on, we're destined.
Texans will be back at practice today. And we heard from D'Amico Ryans yesterday. Actually, you know what? They play Monday night, so they may have the day off. That might be how that plays out. But we did hear from D'Amico Ryans yesterday, so we'll get to some sound from him. But more importantly for us, when it comes to sound, we have an underused soundbite that we don't get to play because CJ simply hasn't played to a level where we could use it. So I'll ask Sean a very ESPN get up first take question. Will we get the chance to play our favorite sounder that we never get to play on Tuesday? And to remind people of what that is, let them hear it.
Shred up, Stroud!
And we need to set a standard for how well does CJ have to play for us to play that.
Oh, okay.
Because if he goes for 220 and it's like a two touchdowns and a pick, I don't know if that's shredding. Of course, if he's improvising, operating outside the pocket, making plays, Nico will be back. That's his favorite guy to do that with. That might help even if those numbers are what they are. But I'm looking for a big day, at least for the first time we do it. And then maybe the standard lessens because the expectations lessen. But I need a big day from Stroud. So what's it going to be? The Cowboys stink. Now Micah Parsons is back, which is troublesome for the offensive line. And we'll hear Chris Sims talk about that offensive line a little bit later when he's talking about what the issues are for the Texans. But we think in 280, and we got to remember it's today's NFL. So 280 is like 340 now. 280, a couple touchdowns, no picks, and a passer rating of 110. Is that good enough to hear from Gruden?
Yeah. I think 65% completion.
Because, look, I'll give you Jalen Hurts' numbers. 202 yards in a blowout, two touchdowns, one pick, a passer rating of 115 within completion percentage of 70%.
I think no pick.
No pick. So if the numbers are that, because if he doesn't throw a pick, his passer rating's probably in the 130s, maybe better. So I agree. No interceptions, particularly after the two awful ones you threw on Sunday night. We got to have a clean game, which is going to be difficult when your offensive lineman is stripping you of the football. But a clean game, no turnovers. Let's go in the 220 to 240 range. Touchdowns, at least two. Completion percentage between 65 and 70%, and then we can play it. We haven't played it. CJ hasn't played well enough. We need that.
Oh, actually, what were his numbers in the game that necessitated that?
How long ago did we grab that sound And what led to it?
Was it the Colts game?
The home Colts game? It had to be, right? The first. I don't think he was doing it after
week one. No, yeah, it was definitely. This is more recent though. Actually, I can pull up when I put it in here.
Yeah, it'll have a date. It will have a date. The Colts game, he went for 285, one touchdown, passer rating under 100, 99.5, completion percentage 67.6.
Was that on the 8th, October 8th?
October 27th.
Okay, so this is from October 8th. So, oh, this is probably the Bills game.
Yes, where he was good in the first half, but the second half was, well, we know what the second half is for the Texans.
Oh, yeah. They don't do anything. The Bills game. 28 of 38, 331.
Yeah.
One touchdown, one interception.
Well, yeah. So
97 passer rating.
So is Gruden's standard below ours?
I don't know. 331
yards. That's a lot of yards.
That's shredding them.
But they didn't score touchdown. They didn't score a touchdown in the second half, though. We need second half touchdowns, though.
Yeah. Is that part of it? So let's go 90 plus passer rating, okay. Not QBR.
Okay.
And at least one touchdown in the second half, no turnovers.
Yes. And if we're in that 235 to 240 range, whatever it might be, a clean game overall, one where you could go, okay, CJ's back on track. We get to hit the sounder, or you do at least. You'll be in there doing it. I'm ready for it, man. We haven't had one of those. And it leads to me talking about CJ needing to play better. But just to give everyone some confidence that what we're seeing right now isn't going to be the norm going forward. The pick to Tank, the pick where he was trying to target Tank in the end zone, I don't expect to see that. That was awful. It may be one of his worst throws. So that's literal throws. I'm not talking about reads. I'm talking about throws. Maybe one of his worst throws as a Texan. I don't expect that going forward. The first one was one where it looked like he got fooled. Hell, that wasn't even great placement. Even if that ball gets the Tank, he's having to turn inside. It's a bad throw as well, but not as bad as the second one. We haven't seen him play up to the level we expect. That needs to change. The Cowboys are reeling. This one should be a game where the Texans find themselves, even if it's fake. It very well could be fake because the Cowboys suck. But if you got to fool me and lie to me for a game, I'll take it, particularly on Monday, where it's the third game in this run where all eyes will be on you. 6-4 is the record. I didn't ever think they'd get to 6-5. I thought the Jets and the Lions games were ones where they could certainly lose. The way they lost the Lions game is the shocking part of it, considering how they started. But getting to 6-5, I didn't see that. I never thought they'd be 6-5 this year at any point leading up to the season. And now we are one more bad performance away from getting there. And the Cowboys are one of those teams where they're not as talented as the Jets, but it's another one of those scenarios where – if we don't win today, let's pack it up. And the Jets found a way, and then they might as well pack it up anyway because they got their ass kicked by the Cardinals.
Well, yeah, they just did it the next
game. Yeah, the Texans, which is more embarrassing for the Texans, that the Jets were willing to pack it up, but you gave them enough hope early to they think, got, hey, we might be able to win this game, and then they went on to win it.
They got 10 days of moving around New York City like they're champs.
Yeah.
And then they're like, actually, we're good here. Yeah, that's all we needed. We just won that one last feeling.
I'm sure a lot of New York people retired Arizona. This Jets season kind of got retired in Arizona. Cardinals playing good football. Good football team, it looks like. Look at that. Kyler Murray. Doesn't he know a Call of Duty game's actually coming out soon?
What the hell?
I don't know if it's Call of Duty Black Ops 6 or whatever. It's on the horizon, so Cardinal fans, beware. But for right now, Kyler Murray's getting it done. He spoke to how this offense is one where it feels more sustainable. He doesn't have to be Superman all the time. Says actually sometimes it gets quite boring right now because he doesn't have to do everything. And right now, that's not what you can say about C.J. Stroud. He has to play exceptional for this Texans team to win against average football teams. They're not going to see an average one on Sunday. So we'll see. So I don't know if we've even solidified the standard. So let's have a standard for the numbers. I'm going to go 235 or above, passer rating of 95 plus, no turnovers, and at least one offensive touchdown in the second half.
I was going to say, not a touchdown pass in the second half, because that can get some, you know, lead a touchdown drive.
At least one touchdown drive, and maybe two. That'd be great.
All right.
Am I asking for too much?
Now you're getting greedy.
Okay.
This is the most they've had since September.
Well, I mean, I understand what you're saying, but I would like them to return to normal. I would like them to be a normal football team and actually be somewhat productive. You know what? I don't need two touchdowns. I need double digits in points.
Okay. Two touchdowns, scoring drives.
Two scoring drives. One includes a touchdown.
Okay.
10 points or something. And if Kyemi Fairbairn misses an extra point, nine will be fine. But two scoring drives in the second half, one involves a touchdown, then we can play the sounder. That's where we are. And, wow, we are really, really lessening the standard. Hey,
when you said 95
pass, that was a sign that I wasn't like, asking for much. I just want to play it in a way that's reasonable. Sunday wasn't a reason to play it.
By Friday, we're going to keep talking about it, and by Friday, we're just going to be like, win and less than two interceptions.
Hey, man, Titus Howard, as long as you don't strip sack your quarterback, we get to play Shred'em Shroud, or at least the Gruden bark. At least
the Gruden bark, that just win. Win and we'll play the Gruden
bark.
Yeah,
it's been two straight losses. You win, we get to play the Gruden bark. You want to remind people of what the Gruden bark is?
I would love to.
There. Isn't that fun, everybody?
Come on.
Don't you want to hear that on Tuesday? A grown man barking for
with
production value behind it.
Shred up, Stroud!
That's punctuation.
That punch is good.
Yeah, it's punctuation.
Yeah, I love it. We just need a reason to do it. So we'll see. We will continue to talk more about the Texans. And Sean and I, maybe jokingly, maybe seriously, have talked about the NBA Cup. What a night! And we got the Rockets tonight.
Night one
in the NBA Cup was great. You had one of the best coaches of all time make an egregious mistake. You had
what a lead. only on this show was that the first one.
You had the Hawks beating the Celtics in Boston
without
Trae Young.
I saw
you had Clay versus the Warriors in a good basketball game.
Yeah,
it was a good night. NBA Cup night one.
Portland upsets the Timberwolves.
Now we can ask the questions. What's wrong with the T-Wolves?
Also, the group's wide open for the Rockets now.
And they have and it's a homecoming. And I didn't know where Granada was going. I was like, what a homecoming. Harden's been here. It's a KPJ homecoming.
KPJ.
Now, he was
Stop the game.
Why?
Tribute video?
This is what I asked. He was well-liked here. There are obvious reasons why he's no longer here. And I would suspect, if not for that reason, he would still be on this roster. Can you play a tribute video considering why he's no longer here? I don't think you can. I don't even think the PA guy can go, a warm welcome for Kevin. You can't even acknowledge that you're acknowledging that he was here.
Does he get, and this is just in the course of the game, when he checks in for the first time?
With a crowd applause?
Yeah. Does it get a smattering of applause? Like a little something extra?
Well, now this is a home crowd, but the first time Miles Bridges checked in for the Hornets, they applauded him in a preseason game, but he was still on the team.
Yeah.
Will the Rocket fans do that because of all the great KPJ moments
on
the court? All those great feelings you felt when he was playing for the Rockets, the memorable things he did on the basketball court?
That one game against the Bucks.
Yeah, I'm sure. The man who, during COVID, was suspended for an altercation at the strip club in Miami, or at least Florida, I believe. Obviously, we know about the incident involving his. They're not going to play the song that they played at the end of whatever Fast Furious movie that was. Yeah, I knew you knew. I didn't know, but I knew you were going to know. That's why I set you up. When Paul Walker obviously tragically passed away, they played this song.
And they show ISO crossovers. Step backs, him high-fiving Steven Silas, waving off Deshaun Nix.
Nix waved off Jalen Green, a bunch.
Yeah, waving off
everybody who's on the court, telling Alperen, I don't need your screen.
It's
get
just
out of 45
here. 45 seconds of him waving people off.
He never gets a shot up. I love that tribute. All the times he rejected what the offense was designed to do to go get his. Mm.
And the offense wasn't designed to do much.
No, it was not.
Yeah, not a dry eye in the house.
I don't imagine the Rockets will acknowledge him. I do think he will get applauded because that's the way fans are.
Yeah.
Hey, I remember him. He played on our team, and I like what he had in his bag. I mean, it didn't lead to anything, but we liked his bag.
I mean, when you're watching a 20-win team,
you got to find
things. Give me some crossover.
Anything. Yeah, a step back. Multiple step backs.
I'm sure there's Washington fans that are like, I love Jordan Poole?
That's a rough one. How can you love?
I'm sure they are.
They're how are they above the age of 15?
No, but are the KPJ ones above the age of? I'll give them 21.
If you go,
I'll make them adults.
If you go by Rockets Twitter, I don't think all those guys are in their teens. And when he was here, they were trying to sell us on that backcourt because of what he could do with the ball in his hands from time to time. I think they were older than teenagers.
Yeah,
that were fans of KPJ.
25 and under.
That's probably. I don't. That's probably the mark.
I don't know if there. I mean, I was like 25 when he was on the Rockets. So, and I was like, no, this is not real hoops. I've seen real hoops,
and this is not it.
This is not real hoops.
Hey, I'm older than you. This is a broke down version of Steve Francis. What am I looking at here? What is this? I've seen this.
Yeah, no, it was like someone in high school doing a James Harden impression. That's what it was.
Yeah, kind of right. Both lefties. Yeah, I believe he's a lefty. So he'll be back along with the rest of the Clippers in the first game for the Rockets in the NBA Cup. You get to see their special court, and we'll see if the Rockets can continue to beat teams at home. They've done a good job of that, and they'll have the Clippers here for a 2-game set. 7-4 the Rockets, which is, we went over this morning, and it's not surprising. And we'll talk about it when we come back. We'll get to that. We're way late. We'll get to more Rockets. We'll certainly hear from D'Amico Ryans on the second half adjustments. And we'll continue to talk about what you want to talk about. 713-780-3776 is the number if you want to get in at any point. We have CFP rankings, the Big Ten, a big winner. People in the SEC, or at least people who represent the SEC, even though they're supposed to be independent, very upset about the rankings, even though there are like, what, four more of these, five more, however many they are there go, and they will change drastically depending on results. But hey, for Wednesday morning after the rankings come out, you can pretend like this matters a lot. So we'll talk about that when we come back. But first, I want to get to MyBookie. MyBookie is the place you go to if you want to put something down on the eventual national champion. Whoever you may think that might be, go to MyBookie.ag and throw some money down. You use the promo code BET975. And certainly that'll make your money go further. And I say that because that promo code allows you to, when you sign up, you put money down, they'll match it. Up to $1,000. So you're a new customer, you're not quite sure, or maybe you are someone who loves to put money down, but you want to make your money go further. $200, now it's $400. You can do the math. Just double it, and MyBookie will take care of you there. Tomorrow is risk-free Thursday, and all that simply means is when you bet on something and you lose, you get a refund. And, of course, if you win big, you keep it. They have a tiered program, a loyalty program called MyBookie Plus, where the more you bet, the more chances you have to win. So MyBookie, throughout the site, so many promotions that'll help you win. MyBookie.ag is a website. That's MyBookie.ag. And remember, you can bet on anything, anywhere, anytime with MyBookie.
Kane is in the building.
This is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
The schedule may change because they have Monday Night Football, but Coordinator Day is when you really get in-depth answers from the Texans, particularly Bobby Slowick. He's the guy where, if you need an answer, he'll give it to you. He doesn't mind expounding on certain situations. D'Amico's different. D'Amico's more in line with what you expect from a coach, particularly a head coach. It's just like, huh? I asked this question. I'm not sure whether you answered it. So D'Amico Ryans, of course, being pushed about second half adjustments. It's one of the bigger storylines for this Texan season. People aren't sure what's going on other than the offense stinks when it's kind of winning time. They are not great in the second half, whether it be in the red zone or just overall play. They disappoint. Here's D'Amico Ryans on the issues and whether adjustments are the problem.
First of all, the biggest thing, coaches make adjustments all throughout the game. So it's not like a big second half adjustment that happens in games. Defenses, they don't run one coverage the first half and come out and run a different coverage. That's not what it is, right? They're always rolling different calls, and you have to be able to make plays based on whatever you're seeing from that perspective. So it's not so much about, for me, not the adjustments. I look at us first and foremost, right? A lot of people can focus on whatever adjustments defense makes, but it's about us and our focus and our execution. And I'll continue to speak about that because that's the only thing that matters to me is the Texans and how we execute and how we operate. And right now, first half, we had some really good things that happened. It wasn't all perfect. And the second half of the game, we didn't execute the right way. We couldn't get plays started. We got penalties. We got negative plays. We're not blocking the right people on our assignments. So let's do that right. And then let's see how we can play and finish in the second half.
That one's actually not that bad. Usually it's more of a dance around things, but he's right. The point total is striking, the fact that they're not scoring, and that leads people to believe, what are you doing at halftime? What's going on? But from drive to drive, adjustments are made. Coaches see things. That's why they have those tablets. They don't just wait. And the breakdown has been done about how much time they actually have in the second half. You need to do that drive by drive. There are some things, maybe fundamentally, that you have to sit down away from play and go in the second half and going into halftime and figure stuff out. But it can't be something where you wait a whole quarter and you're just getting pummeled and then the second half changes things. So I actually like what he said there, but it doesn't change what the issues are. And we hear them, particularly D'Amico, talk about execution. It feels like that is a discussion about the players aren't doing what they're told. That might not be what he's saying, but anytime we hear execution, the thought is there are players not operating the way they should. The coaches lay the plan out. It's a good plan, and the player screwed up. D'Amico would probably say, that's not what I'm saying. I'm just telling him what it sounds like. I'm a big believer in momentum. Now, they've had their issues throughout the season, but the second half against the Lions, I think that second half was pretty much done for as soon as CJ threw that pick. Now, you say you have an entire half to go, but that first pick changed the complexion of the entire game. You're feeling pretty good. I'm sure the plan was to go out there, score one more time, and put the game away. You had finished your last drive with a touchdown. You think you get the ball first, you go down and score a touchdown. It is now 30-7. The Lions are coming back. You stopped their run game. Jared Goff is now purely a drop-back passer, and we saw how poorly that went. Hell, it went poorly in the second half, too, for the most part. I think the interception changed the entire complexion of the game. Even with the Kamari Lassiter pick, when he got it right back, now you're talking about field position, which they didn't have. The punt was fine, but you're kicking from inside the five. You're going to give up field position. The Lions went down there and scored. And then we have what we had the rest of the way, so execution may be a problem, but no one wants to hear that for an entire season. Your job is to get your players to execute. And since they have not done that in the second half, we can't blame all 15 or 16 of the players on offense who play a lot. We got to look at someone, and we're going to look at the coaching staff. And right now, those guys don't seem to have any answers. We'll see with the drop-off in competition, if that changes. I know we have a couple callers, right? I just can't see the names.
Yeah, we're having a little bit of issue with the
the phone?
Yeah.
The system?
The system. So we have Eric and we have John.
All right, let's get to Eric. John, hold on. We're up against it as always. We will try to get to you here. If not, we'll get to you on the other side. What's up, Eric?
Hey, what's up, Bill? How you doing today?
Good, how are you?
Good. Yeah, I heard a report that if he signed Bregman, Kyle Tucker's out of the picture. Also, the Penguin episode, if you've seen it, it was horrible. The ending's horrible. But do you think he'll come back? V will come back as Mr. Freeze? And also, do you like Abigail or Kim Castro, brother? Kim Castro better. I mean, if you listen.
And that's a reference to Abigail Dye, not the Abigail who works here. I don't know what Kim Castro looks like. So once again, Eric, I don't really have comments on local news anchors or reporters because I don't watch a lot of local news. I like the Penguin. I am in on that season finale or possibly series finale. I don't think V is coming back as Freeze, even though Freeze had a first name of Victor. I don't think that's happening. I can't tell people haven't watched it, but I think that was permanent. I don't think that's happening. Although Victor Freeze is not really alive, but now I'm just getting into nerdy comic book stuff. Forget about it. Watch The Penguin, everyone. It's a good show, even though it has that dumb name attached to it. Watch it. It's more crime drama than it is comic book show. Although, as we said, the Penguin does have plot armor. He can't die. So anytime he's in a precarious situation, he's not going to die. You can't kill off the Penguin that way. What else did he ask about? Oh, Bregman and Tucker. How's that affect things? Well, we have a projected number for Bregman that we'll get to when we come back, since Eric asked about it. I don't think one has to do with the other. Or at least I hope not. It shouldn't be one or the other. If you want to be competitive, you're going to have high-priced guys at certain positions. And it hurts more because they're homegrown, that you're going to decide between the two and one has to stay and one has to go. I hope that's not the case. You're not operating like any baseball team I want to root for if that is the case. Pay your guys. You're willing to in some cases. But when it comes down to direct free agency, there seems to be some apprehension. And I'm going to give you the projected numbers for Bregman when we come back. And it makes me think, if that's real, that it's more viable than what we thought as far as his possibility to return. The projected numbers aren't crazy, and neither are the years. We'll talk about that from CBS Sports when we come back.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
We'll get to Alex Bregman's projected contract, according to CBS Sports. But let's go to John first. John held through the break. I appreciate that. What's up, John?
Hey, I just wanted to... How does this sound? Does this sound good?
Sounds great, like you're on ISDN.
Well, yeah, because I'm doing it through my phone, and I got to do it Friday through my phone.
Oh, this is Granado.
So I just wanted to, I just wanted to test it,
Granado. I don't want to talk to you.
And it's kind of boring, so I didn't want to do it during our show. So I thought I'd do it during your show.
So you decide to call into my show and test the line.
I had to test the line. So, Sean, how does it sound?
Sounds good.
Where are you going to be?
A little echoey, but sounds good.
Where are you going to be?
I'm going to be at my daughter's, seeing Charlie, the baby.
Oh, granddaughter. Okay.
Yeah.
So you decided to call in on my show and do it.
Well, yeah. I'm not going to do it on ours. It's boring.
So why? What you have the benefit of being a Hall of Famer. Well, people will acknowledge that as boring, but be fine with it because you've built up so much equity. I don't have that. Why are you doing it to me?
Well, because I just don't want to be for our listeners. I do have that equity, but I don't want to use it yet. I'm going to use it. Trust me. We've used plenty of it already.
Yeah, Fridays from 9:15 to 10.
Yeah, we just 9:15 to 10. We just don't care anymore.
You don't
anymore,
do
right?
anything. You just allow. You allow
nine five, from nine till ten.
Yeah, Willie Fritz, Five Star, Justin. Yeah. It's everybody else doing all the work. You guys don't do anything but go.
Banger.
That's the only effort you put in a 9 o'clock hour. Are you done? Are you good here?
Yeah. Does it sound good?
You're part of it, so no. But the quality is fine. Sure,
the quality's good.
Yeah, okay. It'll be fine. Everyone will be fine. I mean, it's not like you're going to provide great content, so at least the quality of the connection will be fine.
That'll be great.
Yeah,
actually, it probably sounds better than what we're doing now, doesn't it?
I wouldn't put it. I would say yes, probably.
I might do this from now.
You might want to do that going forward. John Granado will be, I guess, in what, Oklahoma City on Friday?
Yeah, Edmond. Yep,
Edmond. Okay, Edmond, Oklahoma, to see the baby and his daughter and her husband. Thank you, John, for using my show to test equipment. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Beat it.
Anytime.
Thank you. Shout out to me. Shout out to John Granado. Clownish John Granado. I thought that was a real John. I saw crediting him for holding the break. I feel so stupid. Why didn't anyone tell me? I was like, thanks, John, for holding the break. I appreciate it. No one jumped in and go, actually, that's just Granado. Well, just left me out to dry.
He said he wanted to call in.
It's fine. Yeah, and do that.
Yeah,
not actually add anything to the show. But that's John Granado, everybody. Now you know what it'll sound like on Friday. So I'm sure there'll be some clearing of the throat, some allergy thing going on. But that will be the quality of the connection, so at least we have that.
The ragweed in Edmond, Oklahoma.
it'll be a problem. Okay, let's move on from that and get to this. Alex Bregman. That is the name of and point of contention for Astros fans this offseason. Everyone wants him back. I have not heard anyone go, you know what? I'm done with Bregman. He is one of those guys who has, as far as an approval rating, I don't know if it's 100%, but from the people I read on Twitter and from people who talk about him on radio and other places, everyone wants him back. And the numbers projected for Alex Bregman, it's part of a bigger free agency story by CBS Sports. They just put numbers next to guys and tell you how much it'll cost to keep them or acquire them if you're a team looking for one of these players. 6 years, $162 million. I'm not great at math, but I do have a calculator on my phone. I believe that comes out to $27 million per year. That is a reasonable amount. That's reasonable years. That's a reasonable amount. If that's what it takes, that has to be done by the Astros. I don't know if Bregman's going to be asking for more. I don't know if he's going to want something in the 30 range or maybe more years. But if CBS Sports is right, and I hope they're right, because that feels like a number that should be matched. I don't want to hear an excuse about the financial sustainability of your team. Why does it make sense? He'll be 36 at the end of it, making $27 million a year. Do it! Why would you have any complaints about that? You locked him down. He is one of your franchise cornerstones. He's one of the few guys left. It's could be fan service, I guess, but it also makes sense for your baseball team as well. He's still a gold glove third baseman. Sure, you have to go through, you know, the early parts of the year where he can't hit a baseball, but that's kind of understood.
Yeah. You get it on the back end.
Yeah, though. That's built into everything. We understand that's gonna be frustrating.
Yeah.
For the first couple months, hopefully not that long, people are going to be like, $27 million a year for this guy? And then you'll remember, it's Alex Bregman. He always looks like this early.
He's awesome in June and July.
Yes.
And then he kind of regulates in August, September.
We know what he is. He's been around enough where we know how this is going to go. It's how his career started. Yeah. When he got to the majors, he was awful early. And it was like, ugh. Well, this is the guy we've been talking about, and obviously he found it, and he's been a star for them ever since.
Imagine if he does actually go to a new team, and it's their first time with him.
Oh, no.
They're like, not. What? We signed a lemon.
Particularly if he goes to, like, a Yankees or one of the
fervent, I saw, like, Philadelphia.
Yeah, fervent baseball city, like Philadelphia. They're like, what is this? What are we doing? Someone who some nerdy baseball person who knows Alex Bregman in Philly, we'll have to calm people down. But for the most part, it's going to be like, what?
Yeah, the meatball fan that's in left field.
No chance. Bregman, you suck!
Yeah, come on.
You must have really been cheating because you can't hit here! It'll be all that crap. So, 6 years, 162. What are we doing, Crane? Look, I'm just using this projection. It could be far more years and far more money. But if we're dealing in this range, he should be an Astro. The question is, will it take to like January for him to realize that's the number he's going to get and then for the Astros to swoop in? This is one of these like,
can we do like
games of chicken where everyone's going to pretend like this isn't the number and then it'll eventually be the number, but he can't accept that early. He can't. The thing is, Scott Boras can't accept this number early, I think.
Yeah.
He can't take under 30 for 6 years this early in the process.
Can we just do this, like, I don't know, December 10th?
We've talked about it. In fact, I think I set my number at some time in January.
Yeah, that's when you think it'll happen. But I want it to happen.
I want it to happen today.
I want some sweet spot of talking about it for a little while.
Okay, we got topic. Plenty of football. What's for our purposes, what's a good time for this to happen? Because we expect the Texans to make the playoffs. Now, how long they last is up for debate. At this point, we got certainly college football playoff stuff to discuss.
Yeah, throughout. We'll have a lot to talk again, and you don't want it to happen over like Christmas,
no.
New Year's, because then we'd talk about it like a week later.
Sure, that's why I put it like in the mid January.
Yeah, I want it pre holidays though.
So you want it to happen before Thanksgiving or before
after Thanksgiving before Christmas? That range,
maybe on a Wednesday.
Perfect.
Where
sign me up.
Where we're tired of talking about the previous Texans game, or maybe the Texans bye week.
Tuesday at
what's the Texans bye week?
4 o'clock.
I think that's the perfect time.
Tuesday at 4 o'clock, actually.
When you're not here?
Yeah, and then talk about
the Wednesday. Want a fresh start. Yeah. You want to gather all the information.
Yeah, I don't want it to break during the show. It also, everything always breaks the second the show ends. So
it used to be right before we'd have all this stuff to talk about, but now it's different. The Texans bye is week 14. That is the week of the 8th.
Oh, that'd be perfect.
Yeah, that's not a bad time.
Yeah, bye week.
Yeah, do it then.
Wednesday of the bye week.
Get it done. Or just hold off. Have it done now. Have everyone calm.
Yeah, just embargo.
Embargo. Like it's a movie. You can't review. You can't give the review of this movie or game.
Jeff Passan.
Until what day? Passan, December 10th. Until then, you keep your mouth shut.
Yeah. And then.
Nightingale, don't be rogue. Don't go rogue, Nightingale. No, we know about you. Keep it to yourself.
75% fresh on Rotten Tomatoes. 6 years, $68
million. $162
million
for Alex Bregman. $27 million a year. Very reasonable.
Critics say 5 stars.
That's right.
I can't believe he signed this deal.
Yeah, it's slow a little early. It's slow early in the deal making process, but it gets going. It picks up, and at the end,
Act 3.
Great climax.
Really
for Act 3. Act 3 was great. All we're looking for is about December 10th. We have a deal. We can talk about it. And obviously, an Astros deal. We want him to sign with the Astros.
I'd prefer it.
But you don't mind it.
I don't need it to
You
be
just need it to happen at that time.
If I'm just thinking purely cynical content brain.
But you, yes, during
which
December.
I'm mostly thinking.
But when we're talking about April and May, do you want to see more Whitcomb?
But then it becomes, we need Bryce Matthews. Bryce Matthews becomes Joey Loperfido.
So he's traded for a 30-something year old pitcher who's not good until he gets to the Astros?
Not that part.
Okay.
Where we go, we need a savior. We need the savior from the Space Cowboys to come.
So there's still another storyline.
Yeah, exactly.
But
that's the whole magic, baby.
But do we want to go through another month or two? And by the way, that's making an assumption we'll still be around. I'm just saying, it is radio. But but a month or two of one of the corner spots being awful. Is that what we want to do again? We did this past season. In fact, both of them are awful. I mean, we knew Bregman would turn around, but the Brayu thing was the worst. Do we want to do this again? And by the way, still a hole at first base. So that's still a thing, too.
I mean, what else are we going to talk about?
I would like them to be good.
They can be good.
But still have the issues at first and third?
Yeah, still have a little anchor around their neck.
Look, we already know what we got. There will be three pitchers who we have to pretend are going to come back, who are not coming back. We know that's going to be part of the
Can equation. I just say Christian Javier's not pitching next year? Can we just get that out of the way?
You just said it. There it is.
Can we get that out of the way? He's not doing it.
You just said it. So, and we have the unexpected pitcher who's going to get hurt before spring training and then not be available. We know that's happening. So we have that as part of our storyline for next season, season two of the show, talking about the Astros. I don't know if I need another storyline involving corner spots not being good or in this case being awful if Bregman's not around and we still don't have an answer at first base. Just pay the man. For my sake. Forget about the city's sake. For my sake, Crane, pay him. So I don't have to deal with that. You want to deal with it.
I want the Whitcomb or DeZinzo.
No, you don't. You think you want it, but you don't.
And then actually Bryce Matthews. Galaxy brain.
Okay.
That's what I want. And then every plate appearance, every game, we have to, are we sure? Are we sure?
You know what? I think what you want, I think you want a lot of the windows closed talk. I think you want a lot of that. Because that's what happens if Bregman doesn't come back. A lot of, this window's
about.
Closed.
Something to talk about. And then that's what makes their 2025 World Series win even that much sweeter.
Then
the window's
be,
always open, baby.
Then they'll be the greatest team ever, the greatest Astros team ever.
They win 87 games and win the World Series.
Off the backs of Hunter Brown and Framber, as he should be called, but some people call him the other word, Framber. And they win the World Series, and we celebrate.
Lance McCullers Jr., World Series MVP.
Okay, good luck.
Okay, I'll settle Jake Meyers, World Series MVP. Mm. Not wrong, just early.
You didn't say when it would happen. You just said it needs to happen.
That's how he wins people over.
By delivering an 87-win team to a World Series title.
Yeah.
That
do,
would win a lot of people
over. Do
what
Freddie Freeman did this World Series. Just do that.
Barely be able to move?
No.
And then turn into a superstar in the World Series? A guy who didn't think he could actually be able to hit.
Yeah, we're going to need him to walk. So
be ambulatory.
Yeah, center field, you know.
Yeah, I don't think DHing Jake Myers is the way he's going to win a World Series MVP. But, hey, we can all dream. And the dream for me is sign Alex Bregman.
The dream for me is sign him before December 20th.
Yeah, before the holidays. That makes sense for all involved. We got some news regarding the Colts. We'll get to when we come back. They've made a decision. Not a surprising one if you considered what we saw from the quarterback position. They made a change. We'll talk about that and how it doesn't really affect the Texans, but does it make the Colts more of a playoff contender? Probably not, but they have switched back. We'll hear from Chris Sims and what he thinks the issues are for the Texans O-line, and certainly we'll get into what happened in the CFP rankings last night and why one SEC honk thinks it's a travesty. A lot to get to. We will be back.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Del Olalea.
After two games with Joe Flacco as the presumed starter for the rest of the year, the Colts have made the switch back to Anthony Richardson. Joe Flacco, in his two starts since the Colts lost to the Texans back in late October, not been good. He's got two touchdowns, four picks. He's been the washed Flacco we saw before that run against, well, for the Browns late last year, the back half of last year. He's not been good. He was fine in the starts where he filled in for Richardson when he was hurt, enough to keep the Colts afloat. Richardson comes back. We know that didn't go well. He taps his helmet and comes out of the Texans game, and that kind of sets everything off, where the entire football world for, you know, about 36 hours couldn't believe it. It was the biggest deal in sports, and now no one talks about it anymore because that's just the way the cycle works. Flacco's in. I thought he was a better option. I'm not convinced that bringing Anthony Richardson back changes anything for the Colts, but it wasn't the answer they were looking for. They lost to the Bills, dominated by the Bills, even with Josh Allen giving them the football a couple times. They lose to Minnesota where Flacco's not good. No, those are two good teams. I'm not sure Anthony Richardson beats either one of them, but they know they're dead in the water with Joe Flacco. So they go back to their top draft pick, and they'll see. Give him the rest of the year to see if you have anything. And if not, then I guess you're moving on, and I assume people are getting fired there. Shane Steichen said just a couple days ago that Joe Flacco would be the starter for their game this week and then an about face on Wednesday. I wonder what happened there.
Just trying to mess with gamesmanship with the Jets.
Because the Jets seem like a team who needs to be messed with. Like, they wouldn't just roll over either way.
Now they're only going to have 3 days to prepare for them.
That's right. Now, they think they've watched it happen in college for one time when LSU wasn't prepared. Turns out LSU doesn't stop any running quarterbacks. So
yeah.
That wasn't the reason why they couldn't stop Marcel Reed, being surprised by him being in the game. So Anthony Richardson is back. We're probably looking at against the Jets defense, who if they care enough, will give him plenty of issues because they still are talented. We saw that against the Texans. If they care, they can compete and mess with your game plan.
What if they're just better at MetLife Stadium?
You think they get that home field advantage?
Yeah.
That's possible.
Fireman Ed, come on.
I don't know how much that
J-E-T-S.
The problem for me is Fireman Ed has been in my life, my entire football watching life.
I do not remember football without Fire, or I don't remember Jets football without Fireman.
I don't either. He has been a thing since I care to watch a Jets game. I've cared to watch at least two of them every year. And now, this year, it's three. He's been around forever, and that's a problem. He needs to be retired. And they try to, but he's still back.
Yeah, I mean, he's a paying customer. You can't.
No, I know I'm not saying he should be banned from the game. In fact, it's not his fault. The TV networks should stop. Yeah. People, networks, cameramen, directors, whatever. They should stop focusing on him. Who cares? He can't lead the chants anymore. He can't go J-E-T-S, Jets, mostly because who has the energy to do that when your team is as bad as they are?
Him for 20 years.
Well, he had the Rex Ryan years, the Bill Parcells years when they were figuring things out.
That was enough wind in his sails to keep going.
Yeah.
That
one Brett Favre run, the one year where they thought, hey.
That one Brett Favre year.
Yeah.
Don't call it a run.
Did they even make the playoffs?
I don't know.
Year?
I don't know.
They might have. I don't remember that year. But a run is a run.
2008 or something?
Yeah, it was the year that Pennington, their former quarterback, beat them in a winner-take-all division game. To win the division in MetLife, or might have been the Meadowlands at the time. I'm not sure how old that stadium is at this point, but back to the Colts. They make the switch. They're still in the playoff chase nominally because the AFC is not great. The seventh seed has 5 losses, so the Colts are still in it. Just don't think you should have any faith that Anthony Richardson is going to be the one to push the Colts to a potential playoff berth. And they'll get it started this week against the Jets team, who can be pretty nasty. Good corners when they're allowed to hold. And Quinton Williams will wreck shop. Anthony Richardson's probably going to go 11 for 24 or something like that. And we'll see if he can
hit. That's raising his ass.
I know. Being kind. He's had a couple weeks off.
That's him. Okay.
He'll see the game better with time on the sideline. And he'll probably add some more explosiveness to the running game because they haven't gotten much without having that extra threat with Anthony Richardson back there. So maybe that opens up some stuff for Jonathan Taylor. But it's not a team we should really be worried about in this division. Texans haven't played well, and that has kept the Colts in it. But this was over when they beat them a couple weeks ago. I hope. I can't imagine the Texans blowing this. Well, let's be honest. I can't imagine it. I don't believe it'll happen. I've seen enough Texans football to figure out a way this happens. But I don't think it will.
Yeah, it's more of a Colts thing.
Yeah, that's a good point. It's not a Texans thing. It's a Colts thing. Because the Texans, once they get – now they should be 9-4 at the end of this three-game stretch.
Even if you get them 8-5.
Even if they drop one.
Yeah. Are
the Colts going to pick up a game if the Texans win two out of their next three? Probably not.
They have Jets, Lions – Patriots, Broncos.
So it's reasonable because those other ones you might consider a toss-up beyond the Lions game that the Colts could go 3-1, could go 3-1 in their next four, which would give them, 7 wins? And we think the Texans at least will have 8.
So it's at Jets, home Lions, at Patriots, at Broncos.
So the road part of that equation certainly changed some things.
But that makes it more 2-2.
Maybe 2-2. Yeah. Maybe they'll have 6 wins, and the Texans at a minimum should have 8, which would mean they would keep their 2-game lead deeper into the year where the Texans start to face some better teams.
Now, the Colts' last 3 games of the season, home against the Titans, at Giants, home against the Jags.
The Texans better take care of business.
They really
the next 3 weeks.
They basically just again take care of business the next 3 weeks and beat the Titans, and they should.
And you should. That gets you to 10, and that should be enough.
Oh, they have another Jags game. Oh, that's part of the next 3.
Yeah, of course. After that,
maybe steal one against the Dolphins.
Yeah, and we'll see where the Dolphins are at that point. Maybe they've given up, or maybe they're right in the playoff chase. Who knows, considering their schedule the rest of the way.
We're really talking about the Texans' remaining schedule, just marking down a loss at Chiefs and home against Ravens, right?
We shouldn't, in the way that we thought this team would be a real contender, but we are treating them now like they're not, because we're just giving away games. And the Chiefs have not played great. It's just that they found a way to win.
They've won all of them.
Yeah.
They haven't played great
But
once.
They've won.
Yeah, but yeah, they won every single
game. So we shouldn't be just giving away a Chiefs game or giving away a home game to the Ravens, but
come on.
But the way the Texans have played, there's no reason not to.
Ravens, I think Ravens without Derrick Henry, you could talk yourself into them winning. But then you have, like, famous Texans killer Derrick Henry on the field with the MVP. And you're like, oh, God.
Yeah.
This is not going to go well.
And a very tricky Ravens defense who's not good, but they do things that
they're
will confuse.
Enough. They're them. Probably good
But they're bad. But they do things that are, that will confuse the Texans offensive line. Now, that's weeks down the line.
A stunt.
Could they possibly... they possibly have figured some things out, maybe, but they have to prove that.
Yeah, it is like a month or over a month from
they've now got plenty of time to figure some things out, but the pushback on that is, well, this has been an issue since
it's been
week
2 weeks.
Yeah. So what are we doing here? All right. We will wrap up hour one here. Anyone want to get in? 713-780-3776. We will hear about those Texans offensive line issues from Chris Sims. Noted blowhard. Chris Sims, but this was reasonable. What he said about the Texans here was reasonable, so we'll give him his credit there. He was talking to Kevin Clark of ESPN, so we'll get to that when we come back.
What defines Ohio? A place that dares to go first and never looks back. There's no slowing us down. In Ohio, we're powering America, discovering breakthroughs, driving the future, propelling tomorrow. At Jobs Ohio, our mission is clear. Strengthen job opportunities and empower Ohio's workforce. Ohio, our time is now. See Ohio's momentum at jobsohio.com/Ohio's time.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks. Like $80 in annual bonus rewards. Free shipping with no minimum purchase. Triple points on 2 purchases and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.